Where are those pants from, Gene? The Dude, drip on this guy.
The drip.
I can't tell you.
This guy is dripping.
Oh, you're going to gatekeep your pants?
I am. I'm going to gatekeep everything now.
I told
you gatekeep.
Although this is from Get Bored and Make Stuff, so if you want this.
Same dog. I took the extra one over there because I'm cold. I told Sabria, I said like Gene has a lot of drip, I said the other day. And she's like, what?
Is she like, is he okay?
And I was like, Gene has a lot of drip. I'm like, what? He has a lot of drip. She's like, what are you saying? She had no idea what drip was. I'm like, he's clothed well.
Her especially, though, I understand because she's not like seeing like us every single day. We're always like interacting with so many different people.
Yeah.
She's usually at home.
Yeah. She doesn't know all the Gen Z lingo like we do.
Well, we don't know anything either. There's so many things that are said now that I'm like, what are you saying?
Yeah, it's getting pretty ridiculous.
Even like they're out of touch too because they're with us all the time, like Chad and yeah. Cyrus. Not them. Like we absorbed
they're getting,
you
we're
guys.
Taking them out of yeah, Gen Z culture.
Exactly.
Good for them. So proud of them. Yeah. Wow, they're so much better off now.
Yeah.
Is what you'd say if you were like an old jaded millennial.
Yeah.
Oh, her follow up then was like, he does have drip. And I was like, yeah, he like thrifts all the time and he's got cool shoes and Emblion Dior.
It is, you know, when you say it like that, it's actually so funny that drip is like either $3 outfit
yeah.
or $65 hat.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
most of the time it's a combination of both.
It's true,
like,
though.
I found these pants in a dumpster, but yeah. this baseball hat is $100. Hey everyone, welcome back to Rally Caps. It's a podcast for artists, entrepreneurs, and everybody in between. I'm Steven.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Gene.
And today we are coming in hot with a second part to a two-part mini-series that we're doing on the show right now about creativity needing boundaries. Last week we discussed specific projects that the three of us have worked on and kind of dissected some of the technicalities of those things and basically explored like the benefits of maybe boring work or some client work that you're not super happy with, or, you know, kind of taking on things that are either very time restrictive or budget restrictive and trying to find like the goodness in those things and mm-hmm. how you can learn something from those and take away something of quality that you can integrate into your business and treat as like a learning lesson for your career. If you are interested in listening to that episode, that's just last week. So just bop back one episode and check that out if you want more context for this episode. Twist it.
Shake it.
Turn it?
Turn it?
Turn it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Vroom. Yeah. So that was last week's episode. This week, we're discussing more of the interpersonal side of creativity and boundaries. We're going to do that by kind of opening up the floor to have a very like chill chat about the pros and cons of both working from home and working in a collaborative studio like we all currently do. We think that's a good spot because I feel like a lot of people are either currently working from home
mm-hmm.
Or they are in a co-working space of some sort or maybe interested in pursuing the studio that we have. So we just want to, I don't know, have a very like low-key conversation. You guys have said a lot lately that you've been really enjoying the more relaxed episodes,
mm-hmm.
kind of conversational, very very chill.
Where we talk about Gene's pants.
Where we talk about Gene's pants and the Bulls halftime show.
Mm-hmm. But why are we so happy today, Steven?
I'm happy that we're doing this episode right now for like a vibey episode because Ooh. The tension that has released from our collective shoulders is wild because we've exported the final version of the documentary that will be aired in Franklin, Tennessee.
Yay!
It's the clapping one.
It is.
Yes! Oh, nice. Yes!
I thought you were going to do the air horn.
I was like, I can't do that one. But I was like, which one is the clapping one?
The documentary is done.
It's done. It's the final_final_1_2_ maybe final .exe. It is the final that's
the actual
being
file,
shown.
The actual file this name is moving still Franklin_02.
Okay. Yes. Perfect. That's awesome.
So,
yeah, it's the file that we're copying to like 100 SSDs right now that we're going to tote down to Franklin, Tennessee to
currently,
play.
Oh, it's supposed to be uploading to Vimeo, but I just realized I've closed my laptop.
Yeah. Don't open your laptop. We're thrilled right now.
Yeah.
It feels like a very appropriate time to record an episode like this because We're just happy. Like, it feels very good. We're recording this for your context. What's today? Thursday? So it's 2 days before the premiere, which is crazy. March 7th. For any of you who are listening, you're not going to hear this until after the premiere. So never mind. Afterwards. If you were at the premiere, it was great to see you.
Yes.
Had so much fun talking about that thing we discussed.
Oh, no.
What? On Earth? Wait, what? That's so out of pocket.
Why?
Dear listener, Eric just walked in with the most Blade Runner-esque looking glasses.
So you should hop on
YouTube. Where did you
and
find
this?
Those? Oh, those were from your
these
reel.
Are mine. I bought these with my own money.
You said these are mine as if you wear them every day.
I thought they were for your kids, but they're for you.
They change colors.
Chatter
are they changed? Wait, yeah, play the music?
It's really unfortunate if you only listen on Spotify.
Yeah, you're not going to. There we go. But now you have music to listen to.
It's going.
Today's a day of celebration. I'm not hiding it.
Today's a day of celebration, folks.
Yeah, we finished our first movie.
We did. I can't look at you with this.
I'm it's still going, the song.
I'm going to make you.
It's still
I'm
going.
I'm going to make you look at me like this the entire episode.
I can't even
now.
See your eyeballs.
Good.
All right, cool. All right. So the doc's done.
Mm-hmm.
The doc's done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is so nice.
It is lovely.
Saying it out loud doesn't feel real.
It feels so wild. The first time we saw it in October when we finally exported in 4K instead of just a proxy export was mind-blowing to see it in full res, because we're just like, we're going off proxies in the edit the entire time. Even full res of that's only 720, so you can't really get a full grasp of how crisp and beautiful the final will be. And then we exported the whole thing. And at that point, it was like 6 or 7 minutes longer than it is now.
Yeah.
But to see the volume of that, like 1 hour and 20 minutes of full 4K, basically the right color and everything, was like, ugh. But even now that it's polished and looking that way, I was just scrubbing through it this morning and was like, oh my God.
It is pretty wild to spend so much time with footage that you know looks good, but to preview it at like the 1/16th preview off of a, like we were using proxies, but even then we were still not previewing in full resolution from that. Mm. It was just like, it felt so pixelated at times. I was like, all right, we're just editing off of feelings and general shapes and colors.
But
to see like the actual final result is very cool. It's very rewarding. And we're so proud of what we made.
Like, unbelievably proud.
It's a freaking movie. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
How do you feel, Gene?
I feel great. Excited to finally have people watch it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got some special friends flying in for it, too.
You seem, cool. You seem so excited.
I'm thrilled. No, I am. It's been like... yes.
Dang.
No, I'm excited. It's,
dude, cool down over there.
Sorry.
Got you're on fire.
Sorry. No, I'm excited. I'm excited for... I think the movie itself has been so much more involved than just, it's been 2 years. So I think like it's been such a long process, even watching you guys in the post process of just really like hammering away at the edit. I think it's so unlike anything we or you guys have worked on. And I think like most people who may be watching, who have YouTube channels, you're working on like an 8 to 10 minute video at best on average, but this is like, it's a movie. So. Mm-hmm. I think for me, at least, watching you guys and just thinking about the premiere this Saturday, just really excited to see people watch it. I'm really nervous, too, for not only, like, the actual event itself, but even just how it's going to be received and just as more eyes get on it and as more people start talking about it on the internet, just, like, really nervous about what's going to be said. So I'm excited, but there's a lot of other emotions I'm feeling as we kind of gear up for this weekend.
For sure. That's fair. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very fair.
It's a lot of people in a room at once. We're currently at like 240 people.
Yeah, somewhere around that. Yeah.
And we don't know all the ticket sales until the theater updates us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. You know, biggest screen, biggest venue, biggest format that we'll be seeing and hearing this in. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure even though we say, you know, we have the final version of the doc.
Oh, we're going to watch it and be like...
We're like, oh, there's a lot that we have to, you know, finesse for larger screens. Because that's just like a different format that we're not used to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is... I feel where you're coming from about like a little bit of apprehension about the weekend itself. And I'm trying so hard to just be like, you know what? Let's just lean into having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
let it go.
It's like a conscious thing I'm having to tell myself. Just be like, you know what? People are going to think what they think and... I hope for the most part people are going to love it. But more than anything, it's something that we should be proud of and just like get to finally celebrate a little bit. Like, we deserve that, you know, like,
I think in the most special thing I think coming out of it is I think there's going to be lots of tears shed watching it, knowing the context of what the resolution of the story is. And I think a lot of people aren't necessarily expecting that to hit them, especially if they have personal trauma in their lives that's similar or adjacent to Joe's.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people who are just like rocked. That's my guess.
Yeah.
And so I'm very interested to see in the Q&A how everyone kind of responds in that way. Mm-hmm. And especially with Matthias being on the Q&A panel,
right,
who plays arguably one of the most important roles in the film, how he responds to some of those people's reactions as well.
Totally.
I feel like it's going to, in part, turn into a therapy session a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Matthias is a therapist.
Yeah.
And
I hope so.
Yeah. I honestly, the Q&A personally, I kind of just want to take a backseat and just experience it and talk as little as I possibly can.
Oh, I'm just going to be nursing some Centauri on the side and just like,
I'm going to talk the most, guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a
just like this podcast. Steven told me as long as I don't meow, we'll be in a good spot.
I did say that. That's true.
I won't meow.
I want you to meow.
No, no.
There's like a deep moment of someone's childhood trauma and you're just like, meow.
And then Chris, just in the back of the audience, is like, ah!
He's like, Gene meowed.
Oh, man.
I can't wait to see Chris. He thought we were totally gassing him up in the text the other day. When we're excited to see, like, we're arguably just as excited to see you as we are for the weekend. He's like, guys, chill. We're like, no. I'm serious.
You chill. Chris Chu is one of the best humans alive. And we're like, that was the first time we revealed to him that, because he didn't know that in the film, he has a single bead of sweat rolling down his cheek in his interview.
Bro. That was sweaty.
And like, I'm not going to go in there and mask out like frame by frame some sweat on your face. So we just left it in there and he was just like, oh
rip. He's like, and then I think he said something to the effect of like, as long as you can't see my soaked shirt.
My shirt. He's like filming in his NYC apartment in the middle of August with like three layers on.
Yeah. We're like, dude, you look pretty decked out for this interview. He's like, is it like hot? He's like, no, I'll be good. An hour later.
Quick functional aside, how did we do that interview, Steven?
Okay, so yeah, that was a pretty fun component. We conducted Chris's interview. It was a self-tape on his part.
Yeah.
So he had a combo FX6, FX3 dual angle setup that he prepared for himself. He lit his scene. He framed everything. And he FaceTimed us for
sent
us to
test images.
He did send us test images too. And then we FaceTimed him and then conducted the interview over FaceTime, but he treated it as if we were in the room. I think he even like put his phone kind of like by the camera.
He could see us off camera, but we were muted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that way our audio.
Yeah.
Which worked beautifully. I'll be honest, I forget when Chris's parts come up in the film that we weren't there.
Yeah.
Like it looks so much like a setup that we would have done for an interview that I'm like, oh yeah, that was just like, that was part of the film.
Right.
We weren't there.
Well, that's what's so cool about doing a film in our niche, because people with resources like that can just do it remotely, which is wild. Or if, you know, like my buddy Ben, who shot Joe's Central Park workout as well, just kind of allowing other people to do some proxy work off to the side in a different city. It's like, it's not worth it for us to go all the way out there. Mm-hmm.
But like Chris is such an incredible filmmaker and he has the tools and like the fact that he was like, no, I'll do like dual camera, dual angle. Like I've got all this like great audio, everything. Like he knocked it out of the park.
That was great.
He understood the assignment.
He did. Mm-hmm. And he delivered chef.
With his sweat.
He looked like Carmi.
Okay.
So anyway, so back to the actual topic of the episode. I mean, this is great. This is all part of it too, right? It's interpersonal stuff. It's why like the boundaries of like in person work in a studio versus maybe like the more isolating solo work at home what we've all done both. We've done work from home. We've done the studio for a number of years now. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Because like, especially like in regards to like the boundaries that those different things provide.
Yeah.
Right. Like maybe let's start with like work from home.
Yeah.
Like what that's like.
Yeah. I would, you know, like, to like say it concisely, I would say that working from home has its advantages too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one thing that comes to mind for me now that I'm in a season of life where my kids are at school is productivity.
Yeah.
Not that I don't love being here in the studio, but depending on the day and the volume of people, my productivity plummets.
Gene now has AirPods Max.
Just meow. The,
I mean, he's you're on like, the floor doing tech deck yesterday. Literally, I turned around at one point. You were like side saddle on the ground. Just,
it's like, and that's the fun. Like, even if like talking about the doc, I don't think the doc would have happened if we didn't have this space together, working so closely together.
For sure.
I won't go too far into like studio, like being in a studio quite yet. But as far as working from home, years and years ago when our kids were really young, it was really hard. It was really hard to have a desk set up in the dining room and then in the kitchen and then trying one of the bedrooms. And I think there's a season to a lot of different things. And I do foresee someday I will probably work out of a home office more than a studio. I think especially as we get older and as a lot of our group begins to go back to East Coast or to the South, whatever that looks like, I do foresee inevitably that my working style will change again. Mm-hmm. But for this season of life, it's been so great and so fulfilling to work alongside people so closely. And I always describe to people, you guys are like friends, but coworkers too.
Yeah.
So it's not just like I'm going to a WeWork working by myself in a communal space.
Yeah, right.
It's very much collective. But like homework, like working from home for me was really difficult a few years ago. But like I said earlier, I do see a world where that will become the norm for me again someday.
Yeah. It's interesting because I feel like the split between like work from home versus in a studio is like exactly what you said. It's like when you're in a studio, you are with your friends and they are your coworkers. Mm-hmm. So you don't ever have to like seek out community. Mm-mm. But when you're working from home, it is so solo that I feel like it's easier for you to like invite people in or for you to leave because you're just like so desperate to see people. Like you just want to be around others. So you're not like as concerned about like needing to like guard your time because you feel like you have an abundance of it because you're just sitting in it on your own all the time.
Yeah.
I feel like another definition of boundaries, maybe for the solo work specifically, is how you do treat your time when you don't have the accountability of a studio space. Yeah. Like what boundaries do you put up for yourself when you're working from home alone, when there's no one right next to you, looking over your shoulder, seeing what you're up to? Like how do you guard your time and use it well when you're at home and don't have someone else keeping you accountable to actually getting your work done?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember in 2020 with so much work from home, I would find myself so often spending way too much time watching YouTube and then justifying it. And it was like, I'm doing research.
R&D.
Hey, listen, this is a peer-reviewed podcast.
Which, I mean, like...
this is research.
Funny enough, like, that's kind of a little bit true.
Yeah.
But mostly not. Yeah. those were the days where I felt that a ton.
Yeah.
But on the few days I work from home these days, I'm so busy that my work from home days are so productive because I'm just like in the zone editing something with a strong, like really concrete task. And I'm just locked in the bedroom and talking to no one and just like just jamming it out.
Yep.
So that's really efficient for me, but it's not something I want all the time at all. I think we also thrive. It's clear that we thrive way more in the studio setting for the functional pieces of, you know, if we talk about editing the documentary, I have my entire NAS sitting next to my desk, which we're pulling from, especially in these later days of doing final edits and pulling from raw footage and needing that literal 14 terabytes of footage. Mm-hmm. That's not something I can just be toting around on, you know, like four or five lessees. So that along with, you know, obviously doing what we're doing right now, having dedicated spaces, this whole studio alone to to have as a functional tool to create things, to have sets, to have all the gear that we have up here. Think of all the gear that we have downstairs, or if I needed to scan film, you have options. Mm-hmm. You have options to jump into work. So like those days when you're sitting alone, you have nothing to do and you choose to watch YouTube, you feel so much more convicted to not do that in the studio, because mm-hmm. other people around you are working and you're like, there's an abundance of things I can do right now because of the resources that are all around me. So there's no excuse. Mm-hmm.
Were there any like pragmatic things that either of you guys did when you were in work from home days that you would do to kind of guard your time a little bit? Like, did you use like any like timers? Did you have any like app blockers or like time limits set on your phone or anything like that?
I didn't. I mean, it was the last time I was like working from home was pre Creative Club, which was nearly 7 years ago now this May.
Regularly working.
Yeah. From so home. Like, for, and crazy. That was again, like my kids were super, super young. We didn't even have our second yet. So, the biggest thing I had to work on was like communicating with Lois, my wife, about, like scheduling and boundaries and giving each other ample time to work.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it didn't, for me at least, it didn't matter what systems I built. Like, it wasn't going to help me very much because of my actual situation.
Hmm.
Hence like why a lot of us got the studio, because a lot of us, our families were growing. Mm. We had young children, and it was just almost impossible to work unless you're working super early in the morning or really late at night, which is what I find myself doing during like heavy wedding seasons. Yeah. It was just like
same
working whenever I could, barely sleeping. But during the day itself, I wasn't working that efficiently.
Yeah. It's funny because like my running career now could not have existed in my 20s with that very thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting enough sleep to recover. Like, I wouldn't have even been able to do it. Like, I would just have been too exhausted. Mm-hmm. So the feelings that I have about like, oh, what could have been if I started when I was 24. But I mean, I did what I had to do in my business to be able to support my family. So I have zero regrets in that regard. But same, like I would be, especially when I was teaching and doing weddings.
Yeah,
and I would just be editing weekday evenings into the night, and I'd be shooting on the weekends, and I'd just be fitting it in wherever I could. When I was growing the YouTube channel, I would literally, I feel like once a week, I would stay up till 3 to 5 a.m. finishing videos overnight and just getting them. And I didn't need to do that, but for me, it was like, if I'm going to get this done and get it out, I just need to charge through the night and finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had so much steam that I was like, just go. And I think a lot of people would look at that and just be like, that doesn't have any discipline, the blah, 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 blah. And in my mind, I was like, I know this isn't a sustainable approach. I'm just in like a pour gas on the fire kind of season right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Knowing that, because I never do that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't done that for 2 years. So yeah, it's super interesting because in those quiet moments in the middle of the night, I can work unbelievably efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's another thing. Working at crazy odd hours, like I thrive by getting up at 3 or 4 a.m. to finish an edit because I'm just sitting on the couch in a quiet house and really no one's active on the internet either.
Mm-hmm.
So that's huge. To go off of your question, I've never really dabbled in any kind of like productivity apps or anything, but even here and regularly, I actually just switched to having a work mode because
on your phone,
Do not disturb was actually biting me because I was missing phone calls and important work texts and stuff.
Yeah.
So now I have work mode set in where I have a small group of people that
like work contacts
that I can get. Yeah. Where I'm not losing it. Cause even Sabria, like she would be texting me in the middle of a work day with something important with the kids and I wouldn't see it for 2 or 3 hours. So that's been really helpful for me as well, just to have those parameters.
No, those custom modes on iPhone, I'm sure Android has something similar, but it's amazing how like fine tuned they can become.
Yeah.
And you can really, I think those are probably the best ways to like help during work days and like provide accountability for you if you are working from home or working from a studio. Either way, I think it's just a helpful way to kind of lock in so that your phone isn't this just colorful, vibrating distraction that's like always trying to suck your attention back into it.
Something I heard recently is a lot of people are turning their phones into black and white.
Grayscale. Yeah. Which is psychologically like fascinating to see like the impact of that because of how stimulating color is and how boring your phone suddenly becomes if it's all just black and white, which is very interesting, which is no shade to black and white photography by any means. I love black and white photography.
Don't tell Braxton.
Don't tell Braxton or Chris. They can't find out. Grayscale is so much less stimulating.
That's why I shoot in color. Sorry, Chris.
No, it's like it's fascinating. It's very cool.
There's a reason why all these apps are so vibrant in color. Mm-hmm. Did you do something similar on the East Coast before you moved here?
Work modes, yeah.
You did.
I don't think they were quite the same amount of customization. No. Like 2.5 years ago, I don't think. But I've also used like an assortment of timers and like physical things, either like on my desk or on my computer, that I would set for myself to create work sprints throughout the day. Like I really enjoy working in sprints like that, where you set like a 30-minute timer, you click it and you go. And
is that what your little circle thing is on your desk?
Yeah. And it's really designed to just like be that. The reason I got one that's separate from my computer or phone is because I wanted something that is not potentially another distraction, right?
Yeah.
It's like even just opening up my phone to set a timer
invites
the possibility of something taking my attention away. So, using that physical timer on it was like an $8 little clicky timer. It's incredible. Just click it to go, 30 minutes, and it's one task that I'm on. There's nothing else. And I really enjoy working like that. I think it's for me at least, it clicks, and it's literally. It literally clicks.
That's good.
Thanks.
Yeah. That's good. That's probably my favorite way of it, like a very practical, easy thing to do. I think something I know I definitely struggled with when I was working from home. Like there's no silver bullet to figure this out. Like one size fits all kind of thing. But it's helpful to like acknowledge it and just talk about it openly because it can be kind of a make or break thing. I think early on, if you find yourself wasting time so much, it's like just refocusing and recentering on that goal of whatever that thing that you're trying to achieve is.
Yeah.
I think it's really important.
The flip side of the studio though is that it could just be so.
Yeah. Let's talk.
Yeah.
About
let's,
that.
Let's talk about it.
I think so many, we've been on the other side for so long now.
Yeah.
I think one of the questions we've all collectively gone over the years, probably the most, is like, how'd you guys do that?
How do you do
it? How'd you guys start Critical Club? How'd you guys start Rally Caps? How'd you guys start like a communal thing? And I think that so many artists, creatives aspire to be in a communal space like ours. But there are definitely some, why am I smiling?
Bro, you're grinning like the Joker over there.
Like I think no one talks about the actual reality of being in a communal space too with your friends, because it's not always easy, nor is it always productive either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like, no
tough.
One talks about that. Everyone's community.
I'm
like, yeah, but there are things you have to also sacrifice to being part of a community.
100%. Yeah. It is a wild privilege to have this space. These spaces for the three of us, at least, two studios. But it comes with a lot of responsibility.
That's why we have this.
That's literally we got the second one. That's true.
But going into your work day, the expectation of that, you might be really focused that day, but you have to understand that you might get interrupted.
Yeah.
And really kind of just having enough grace and empathy to just, okay, maybe I will just pause for a second to have this conversation, because I do think it's important to have those relational, interactions and components. But we also have unspoken and spoken rules about productivity. Mm-hmm. Headphones mean leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have been there where we
most
do.
Most of the time. Most of the time they do.
I'm guilty. Guilty of that.
Yeah. or unless we need to get Bean's attention.
Yeah, everyone just screams Bean.
Bean!
But we've all been there as well.
Yeah.
Me on the receiving end of Steven just completely ignoring with the headphones on, pretending that he can't hear. Like, for sure. We all do that as well.
Dog.
Like,
I don't even want to out myself, but half the time I don't even have my headphones plugged in.
Yeah.
I'll just be real about that. I'll come clean. I'm not even listening to anything. I'll hear people be like, hey, Steven, can I? Oh, he's got headphones on. I'll be like, yeah, I do. I'm not listening to anything, but I am wearing them right now.
I'm just going to start saying outrageous things to you and just try to get you to laugh because I know you're ignoring me.
But like, that's like,
hey, butt cheeks.
Oh, you got to try harder than butt cheeks. No, it's pretty funny, actually. Yeah. It's pretty good. That's a pretty good one. No, you're right. It's like, it is such a delicate balance.
Yeah.
It's like a dance that I feel like all of us have to perform together.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Like there should be like grace on both ends. Like sometimes, yes, I do want to field a question. I can create a little asset for you. I can mock up a thumbnail. I can do this, that, the other. Cause like we're all on the same team. Like we are all trying to actively help one another, but then on the like askers end, it's like I want to have enough respect for everyone also to know that they have stuff that they have to get done.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be distracting them from those things so that they have to bring that work home and like ultimately like spend 3 hours that night catching up on what they couldn't do that day because it, you know, things spiraled or whatever. And I think like we all again kind of like have an unspoken agreement that, you know, some days are kind of like fun days. Everyone's in a mood. Everyone's having a good kind of day to like lay back a little bit more. And we're all cool with that. Like everyone contributes equally and we just want to have that together. And those are really good bonding days too, because like there should be that relational component. Like we should be investing in one another on a personal level.
Or even just like, hey, I'm going to Trader Joe's. Yeah. You don't need anything, but you're going to come on the walk anyway.
Yep. Yep. Those are some of the best parts of,
really
of being in a communal space is like even just the accountability, like
move,
get eat, outside,
eat,
drink water, like sunshine, like all the stuff that
steps.
Can very easily be neglected if you're on your own and you're like, oh, I got to power through this edit or whatever. It's like, no. You'll actually do better on that if you take 20 minutes to go on a walk out and back and feel refreshed.
I'm really guilty of that. I feel like some of those really fun days where things are happening, I'll still just be like.
You have to get it done, though.
Yeah.
Like, there's a balance. Yeah.
Now that the doc is over, honestly, it feels like that part of my life is opening up so much more because it was so, like, these deadlines, gotta commit time, we need to get it done. And now that that is just, I mean, we have all the other components of needing to do premieres and emails and marketing and all that.
Yeah.
That feels very different to me than the creative energy it takes to work on an edit. So that feels like now I'll be moving forward into more of having a looser schedule in the studio, which is really always what I want. I don't really, that's what I don't enjoy in a co-working space is when I have tight deadlines, I'm rushed to finish a project, and I can't enjoy the company around me. That's what, and so building systems in place where I can extend that out and have free time to engage in other things and just like breathe more.
Yeah.
Even though I know I work really well on a tight timeline, really find discipline in being able to lengthen that out more.
That's just like the nature of being business owners too. There's seasons of pushing and pulling.
Yeah.
And then with the studio, like how that affects the studio is like very much give and take. I think like sometimes the day-to-day can be frustrating when you're really busy. You just feel like you're drowning or man, like I'm not really enjoying the people around me or maximizing the space. But I think it's, there will be a time when this is no longer, like when Creative Club is no longer.
That, yes.
Because like that's inevitable too. There will be like people's lives are changing. People will move. We're changing. But there's like no doubt that all of us will look back on these years very fondly. And even if those day-to-day like moments feel very frustrating, I think our journeys as like creatives and artists definitely like when you look at the long term has been greatly impacted in the most positive way, being together.
Absolutely.
And I do think there are strong benefits to being next to your friends, other very talented artists and creatives, people who are very skilled at what they do. than someone working solo individually on their own, which again, like you may be more productive in that way. But my argument to that is like you can 10x your learning abilities and your skills by being around other people who are very talented and skilled.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to watch a YouTube video. And then you get sucked into like watching random videos too that are not about what you wanted to learn in the first place.
So I actually wanted to mention this to you guys because I want to do like a whole other episode of it, but I've been talking nonstop about Jacob Collier's episode on Colin Samir that just dropped earlier this week. I'm not even kidding. I would be down to literally do like a whole dissection of that episode as an episode on Rally Caps because there's so much gold that Jacob drops in that episode. One of those things that I just want to peel apart now because I feel like it's relevant is that I think kind of towards the later half of the episode, they talk about productivity and like how to, you know, get things done and be efficient and specifically within the regards to music that Jacob makes. And he said something to the effect of, I refuse to believe that the fastest way is always the best way.
In his deep bass voice.
He has the most gorgeous voice.
It's just very, very sing-song.
It's so deep.
Here.
It's very unique.
It's like a British Sam Elkins. Like, actually, like his voice is so deep. It's crazy.
Sorry. I just wanted to sneak my Jacob Collier impression in there somewhere.
Yeah, British. Very. It was very British.
Say the phrase again.
What I said? Yeah. I refuse to believe that the best way is the fastest way.
Yeah.
Or that the fastest way is the you're talking about, because like he was using examples of like, you know, it's not, or I think Samir actually was like, you know, you talk about efficiency, like being efficient isn't always inherently good.
Yeah.
Like it's not efficient to go to a concert to listen to music. It's efficient to listen to it on Spotify at home.
Yeah.
It's not efficient to park at the venue and get inside and stand in a bad seat maybe and like hear things that are not mixed properly or whatever, you know? And like that struck a deep chord with me because like as a musician, especially, I'm like, oh, like I understand like the power of live music and how much more special it is to experience it in a live setting. I think most people can relate to like, on like the audience side of things too, like being in the room, it always feels more electric than watching or listening to it on Spotify or somewhere. And that just like was a really, I don't know, good perspective shift a little bit. It was like, oh, it doesn't have to be efficient for it to be good. And sometimes like the winding road to get to the place that you wanted to get is actually a better way to get there because of all the experiences that you picked up along that route,
for sure,
whatever that end goal is. But I thought that in particular is like so relevant to our conversation today because I think like exactly what you said, Gene, is like regardless of the distractions, like we're going to look back on this so fondly because the studio is not forever.
Yeah.
And when it ends, it would be nice for it to end in a way that we all look back on it, that we knew that we were like in the good old days, as Andy so famously said at the end of The Office. Like, I think we're all very aware of what we have and how special it is.
Yeah.
And even sometimes when, you know, the days that are a little more frustrating, that aren't as productive, that are a little, you know, kind of distracting, that even that is like part of that winding path that we're all on to get to whatever it is that we're headed towards.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me a lot of Inside.
Oh, yeah.
That was so transformative for me to see a brilliant mind take so long to make something.
Right.
And then just seeing how all the functional components of it had to happen over a long period of time. And even just the realization of seeing his facial hair and head of hair grow.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was, there were clear natural indicators of how long it took him to produce these things.
Right, right.
And then you see the outtakes and you see all the stuff. And even inside the film, you can see how he is, Someone's knocking. I don't know. You could see how he is taking so much time to set up a certain shot, dial in the lighting and the audio, how many takes he does to come up with a masterpiece like that. Mm-hmm. Even look at White Woman's Instagram, that song, the amount of scenes he came up with just for one song.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 minutes, it had to have been 40 or 50 different scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that challenged my creative perspective a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I think really ultimately was what made me want to jump into challenging at least myself with something long form, mm-hmm. like the documentary. Mm-hmm. And then we did that.
Mm-hmm. We actually did it.
We did do it.
Yeah. Huh? Gene, are you listening to music when your headphones are on? Or am I the only...
Those aren't even real headphones. I just bought those off of eBay for $5. They're just a casing.
They're not real
it's
AirPods.
It's just the now. Casing.
No. Those are AirPods Pros. Those are not AirPods. Those are
wait, it's
Chinese
called Pros?
$5.
AirPod, are they the AirPod Pro Max.
Pro Max.
Isn't that what the full name? Know. It's some...
They were gifted
they're
to
not
you.
They're not real.
So they're not real.
It doesn't even matter, guys. It's, it's no, I am usually don't even have music a or like, yeah, like an interview or podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do love like learning in that way, like through audio.
Yeah. I think part of it too, I think what actually would help with some of like the day-to-day distractions, because like we don't want to kill that vibe. We don't want to ruin the energy in the studio. We want to be able to mm-hmm. feel comfortable like coming up to each other and having these conversations yeah. and stuff. But I feel like more intentional hang time would be beneficial for everyone as yeah. a full group
mm-hmm. yeah.
where we're like, we're agreeing to take an hour, you know, once a week for a lunch break. Even mm-hmm. if it's like, hey, like the Trader Joe's walk is like everybody comes.
Yeah.
It's not an optional thing. It's like we're all doing it together.
It's at a certain time.
And we're making it more of an event to look forward to.
Yeah.
Because that even like that's where like that's honestly where boundaries come back in. It's like when you put like a little more structure around some of these things, it's actually more freeing, weirdly mm-hmm. enough. Like having just like all of the freedom can be actually like a bad thing
mm-hmm.
because without structure to guide some of it, it can just spiral
yeah.
and it can become frustrating,
yeah.
Which is why I feel like boundaries and like structure and words like that, like shouldn't have, I feel like they kind of inherently have a negative connotation, but I don't think they should. Like, I feel like
no.
there is goodness to them if you just work them in an appropriate way.
A balance of everything, right?
Yeah.
Because too much of it is like, you know, it's a dictatorship all of a sudden.
Yeah,
you
right.
know? But having a rule where no dirty dishes go in the sink or on the kitchenette.
Yeah, like, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah.
That's just a rule. Like, we don't do that. We yep. clean the dishes mm-hmm. and we put them mm-hmm. away. This
yep.
and something we struggled with for months
yep.
of that happening over and over. Mm-hmm. But I even think of like what we're going to, I'm really excited for tomorrow because we're road tripping to Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
We have 8 hours in the car
mm-hmm.
to just talk about whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a long time. And I remember having multiple drives with you, Stephen, like mm-hmm. that really, really intentional, meaningful conversation just mm-hmm. about personal stuff and work and very therapeutic. And it's very rare that you get that much time to just talk mm-hmm. or the plane ride we had to Maui,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're coming mm-hmm. up with creative business ideas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those things are really special too, that can be built into the work life as well
mm-hmm.
or the lunch we had at the factory in Franklin,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
Carving out that intentional time is honest. Yeah. Like we know the three of us, some of the most special, meaningful conversations in business and our relationships with those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And knowing that that's what we're going to be discussing during that time too.
Mm-hmm.
Like the intentionality of the Maui trip was very much like, okay, mm-hmm. well, we're going to work here,
mm-hmm.
even though it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
For me in particular too, I'm going through this whole reckoning in my life that I've, you know, shared. Have I shared it on the podcast yet?
Mm.
Like the whole correlation of discipline and running to my business life.
Mm.
I'm making a short film about it right now.
Mm.
We're in the process of writing and concept mood board and everything. With Cyrus, my new employee,
mm-hmm.
who I don't know if I've brought up yet on Rally Caps, who's unbelievably talented and just incredible. The whole idea of the film is like discipline across the board. Like just always saying yes to discipline can lead to so much more fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And saying yes to discipline in only one part of your life and then slacking off in another, like how unproductive and messy that can become.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like you're idolizing this one thing. So for me, for so long, it's just been like, I'm going to be so dedicated to running, but I'm just going to be a couch potato for this amount of hours on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to kind of be useless.
Yep.
And putting things off and procrastinating with housework or dishes or whatever. But saying yes to the hard thing is a practice that I do in this physical task of mm-hmm. running. So why can't I also say yes to the hard thing over here as well? It's not easy. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it's so not easy to say yes in this other thing. But if I do, the reward of saying yes to that hard thing is just as, if not more, rewarding than accomplishing the running goal.
Yeah.
Absolutely more rewarding on a personal front, if it's with my family or if it's with our work lives mm-hmm. together mm-hmm. and continuing to say yes instead of saying yes to the procrastination. Mm-hmm. For me, that's been insanely transformative, where it's like, instead of saying no, I'm too tired, it's, I know it's hard, but yes, because of what's going to be on the other side.
Right. You guys familiar with Jocko at all? Jocko Willink?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got this legendary phrase, thank you, called discipline equals freedom. I'm pretty sure he's the guy who coined that. And like, I've always loved that because I think it's so simple.
People have been saying that on videos. Yeah. I didn't know that came from Jocko.
Discipline equals freedom. Yeah. It's incredibly profound, and it's simple, easy to remember. Just like a good slogan, because too much of anything is too much.
Yeah,
and for sure. having structure, having boundaries, having discipline, they're all those words are intended for the same thing, is to actually give you more in your mm-hmm. life and mm-hmm. to bring more fruit out of the freedom that you have. I love conversations like this. These are always great episodes.
Well, I think what's also really cool in that too is you say yes to all those things, you get to nighttime and you're ready to go to sleep and you're just so tired, but you should be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you're ready to rest. Mm-hmm. And then your sleep isn't restless. Like you sleep very well.
Mm-hmm.
You sleep through the night mm-hmm. and then you're ready to go for the next day as well.
Yeah, you just brought a searing memory back into my head. In college, I coined this phrase, earn your sleep.
Mm.
I was like, yeah, like I do. I want to feel like at the end of the day, I should be sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
I should be resting. Yeah. I should be recharging. Like, this makes sense. Like, it adds up. Like, I hit my strain goal, you know, like mm-hmm. this is appropriate. I balanced what came in and what went out. And now it's time to rest for the next day and do it all over again.
Yeah, because a lot of the procrastination leads to then staying up till 1, 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
watching whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then you're so unrested the next day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dang. That's a good episode. I feel like this is one of those that we could have done like a 3-hour episode, and maybe we will eventually.
Yeah.
We'll unpack it even further. But thank you so much for listening, for watching this episode. If you could do us a favor and like it on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, give us a rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the good places. We're really trying to bring the show to more and more people this year.
Mm-hmm.
We want to help people and share these conversations with a wider audience.
We've been weekly, y'all.
We're doing it. We're sticking to our word. We called our shot and we're doing it. 100th episode is happening this year, 2024.
How many more do we have? What are we on, 65?
This is going to be 65.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Sick.
We love you all. Thanks for being here. Talk to you in the next episode.
Bye-bye.
Later.